But I love iTunes. That's, you know.
Well, that's fine. Right. See, and like honestly, I don't like the change that iTunes made on the last update.
Yeah, I hate every time they change fucking anything.
Yeah, and every update I hate, so I usually don't download. If I can get away with not downloading the update,
you hate your product so much, but you won't leave it.
Mm-hmm. Three old men talking. Right. I hate when there's change.
Right?
Back in my day, nothing ever changed.
Right?
I love me some dial-up.
Well, look, I'm sure the Google whatever does the same thing. Anything, you know, an updated change or something.
Sure.
You know, right, we just hate change. Fuck, I just figured this out. Don't go and change it on me.
There you go. Speaking of that, we got a show to do with about the changes. So awesome.
I took off for a weekend last month. Tried to recall the whole year. All of the faces, all of the places. Wonder where they all disappeared. I didn't ponder the question too long. I was hungry and went out for a bite. Ran into a chum with a bottle of rum, and we wound up drinking all night. It's these changes in latitudes, changes in attitudes. Nothing remains quite the same. With all of our running and all of our cunning, if we couldn't laugh, we would all go insane.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Doom Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating. I'm going to go with a 1.5, getting to a 2. Been having a few vodka and Sprites to prepare for the show.
Yeah,
what? You never heard of that before?
Yeah, but yeah, just, you know.
It's actually cherry Sprite.
Whoa. Non-traditional.
Mm-hmm. You drink what you got. So... You find ways to make it work.
We've all been there.
It was either that and Monster, and I'm not drinking a Monster at 9 o'clock at night. Because I'm an old man now. Anyway, the draft is over. And by now, I think our listeners have heard more draft review shows, highlight shows, best draft moments, favorite draft speeches, draft evaluations, draft recaps, early mock draft results for 2018. So you're going to be happy that you tuned into this week's episode, because we are going to go a different route and talk about new Saints who mostly arrived via the draft.
Oh my God. So that's the indication of how this is going to go.
So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
It's probably a 0. I got a cocktail, and I had a margarita at dinner, but that was an hour and a half ago, so. Yeah, I'll go with a 0.
At least I got the number to cover. Damon, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, yeah.
Okay, well then let's waste no time and get right to talking about our new Saints. And actually, before we get to the draft, let's do what we promised everybody, and we'll talk about Adrian Peterson. Because he is a new Saint.
He is a new Saint.
And that's why we're different than draft recap shows.
Look, I mean, I think his name will come up later on when we start talking about the running backs. I like the addition. Look, people, he is the replacement for Hightower. That's all he is. He's not going to be our number one back. I hear people, you know, kind of saying, oh, you know, you have nothing left in the tank, blah, blah, blah. But it was just not last season, but the season before, where he had 1,400 yards and made a Pro Bowl.
Well, he led the league in rushing 2 years ago.
Right.
After coming back, I mean, he had his major injury, then he rushed for 2,000 yards, and then he got suspended
for spanking his child. You know.
Yeah, and then came back and led the league in rushing. So, we're not asking him to be a bell cow. You're not asking him to run 20, 25 times a game. That's not who he is anymore.
Fuck, we ain't asking all running backs combined to run 25 times.
Oh, yeah, good point.
That's why he came here.
That's two games. I mean,
yeah.
Exactly. Can he stay healthy? He's a young 32. Look at this. Look, he's not, you know, he's not us at 32 with fucking beer bellies and, you know. This man.
Fuck, he's not me at 28.
He's not you at 18.
Right.
Right, he's not me at 18. I was fat at 18. Had a lot of beer.
But y'all cut your hair the same way, though.
There
I actually have.
But, yeah, I mean, so I love the, again, it's replacing Hightower with a guy, in my opinion.
It's not replacing Hightower, it's upgrading.
Well, time will tell, but yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, well, I think it is an upgrade.
That's what you, you did it because you feel like you're upgrading.
Right, and I mean, where his AP's potential is a lot higher than Hightower's ever was.
Right.
You know, he could come out and he could be that back that he was just 2 short years ago. I think he could.
I figure what you're probably going to see, and yeah, I mean, look, it's low risk, short term. I mean, it's effectively a 1 year, we're going to have $1 million deal. We've got the option for year two, but it seems like what's probably going to happen is, look, he'll be a backup, get a few carries here and there, and there may be one or two games where he might just happen to go nuts and rush for 100 yards or something. It's kind of, every once in a while, a different, I mean, for the most part, Ingram's going to be the guy, but every once in a while, you know, Hightower would have a solid game. Like, I think
last year, maybe first game.
That's what you're going to see. One or two games where he pops off and goes nuts. And other than that, he's just a steady backup. And, I mean, I hope, I guess we'll get to it when we get to the draft, too. The other running back coming in, look, when they were successful, they ran the ball a lot. The three-headed monster running back.
It was Reggie, Pierre, and Bell. Okay, and right now we have Ingram, AP, and
Kamara.
Say it again.
Kamara, yeah.
Right, and that's what we're looking to reproduce. Exactly. I mean, so that's
right. When the signing happened, I mean, I think for the most part, Saints fans were okay with it. I know some didn't like it, but it's a one-term deal for $3 million for a backup running back. Like, whatever.
Right.
You know, there's no reason to get mad about it. It's low risk. You know, we needed a backup running back. I mean, who else were you going to sign? And it's going to be interesting. I mean, Peterson, his whole career, other than maybe one of the Favre years in Minnesota, he's had to play with a shit offense, and he's had 8 men in the box all the time.
Exactly.
So he might actually have space to run here because the defense isn't going to be able to do that with this offense.
Correct. Instead of seeing the 7-8 man front, he's going to see a 6-7 man front. Because trust me, then you know the defense all of a sudden isn't going to start ignoring Breeze.
Right.
So yeah.
He said So I think it's I'm good with it.
I'm good with it. I like the pick. You know, and it's pretty cool. Even though, again, you know, AP, no one's expecting him to be, you know, the back he was 5 years ago. But it's pretty cool to see two Hall of Famers, because AP is a Hall of Famer.
I mean, think about it. He was the best running back of the last decade.
Oh, easily. He was phenomenal. He was, and he was phenomenal in the 2009 NFC Championship game, fumbling 4 times.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
He was great then. That was my personal favorite performance of his.
Never again, though.
Right. No. He corrected that. He corrected it.
All right. You want to get into the draft now?
Sure. There was a draft.
Yeah. Heard a little bit about it.
Well, at least we already talked about the first. Well, yeah. You talked about the first pick. You fell asleep when we talked about the second pick.
Do you want to speak on some of the whiners out there?
Well, yeah, address that, because that's like, well,
stop whining, you whiners, you fucking crybabies, shut the fuck up.
And why are they? What are they whining about?
Because their diapers are wet.
No, Saints Twitter does. We whine about a bunch of shit.
Well, no, look, I mean,
if you listen to some of the reactions on Twitter, you would think that the Saints had the worst draft in the history of the Saints organization.
Which says a lot, because we've had some pretty shitty drafts.
Right.
And recently.
Yeah, right.
Right, like, what the fuck?
Anyway,
like, what do you know about these guys that you're going to say that they're terrible picks and that they're bad? Because I will say, as much as we complain about the NFL Network or the NFL itself and all these analysts and evaluations and all that, there was one guy who posted, and it's just one guy's opinion, but he did some sort of a scorecard and ranking of drafts, but you know, that kind of thing. And the Saints, he ranked the Saints as the number two draft class, potential-wise. You know, right, based on opinion. Expectation, right. But yeah. You know, all things considered, but saying, like, basically it was Eagles, Saints, Patriots, saying that the Saints got the, like, the best
we
value.
Drafted at every position of need.
You got, like you said, number one cornerback.
Had both of those guys number one at their position.
And then you got Marcus Williams, which we'll jump into, who is a ball hawk.
The whiners were sitting there because we didn't get a defensive end. Look, people, we needed a lot of spots. Okay, we needed a lot of spots filled.
Right.
So I guess we're not going to rush the passer this year.
Right. And then, like I'm sure we've all heard if we've been listening to the analysis, there's two ways to affect the quarterback. You can A, use the rush, and B, in the back end with cornerbacks, you know, someone who can cover for more than, you know, a half a second. That would be nice. So that's what we did. And the Saints organization obviously felt that those players, you know, were the best at their position. Lattimore, again, Sean Payton said that they never had, you know, on their mock draft, they never had any of them, but Lattimore fell to them.
So
when he was right, there.
To your point, though, to say, right, that maybe part of the reason why we've never had a pass rush is because our DBs and safeties were so bad.
No, that's not it. No. Our pass rush has been bad. Although I think, like last year, I saw maybe it was Mike Triplett. Somebody came out with a stat that
it was Underhill.
Underhill, okay.
I was going to bring this up, Jason. I have it in front of me. Okay. Underhill from The Advocate, a very good sports writer.
He's the best guy covering the Saints.
Yes, undoubtedly. Not that fucking Duncan. That basically what he was saying. I'll paraphrase. The Saints were like third in quarterback hits, all right? And the teams above them, Cincinnati, Los Angeles, they had more sacks than the Saints. And what they were saying is that if you can get a quarterback to hold the ball just 1 or 2 seconds, not two, but a half a second longer, that those pressures can turn into sacks, is what he's saying.
Get guys who can cover a little longer so that your rushers can get there.
No, but I think, well, look, they didn't think Lattimore was going to be there. He was just too good to pass up. But if there was a better pass rusher in other spots, they would have taken a pass rusher. They're just, according to their board, it just didn't work out.
I feel like we didn't reach for anybody.
No, I mean, I know we traded up to get the running back. And you say, well, why would you trade up for a running back? But I think this guy fits what this offense has been lacking since we lost Sproles.
Sproles, 100% right.
You know,
what
like,
about this?
Right, I agree.
You know, I mean, he's going to unlock
the
playbook that we really haven't been able to deploy lately because had the guy to do that.
Right, but when Kamara? I say – correct, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But, Jason, when I say reach, I don't mean if – yeah, we saw a value in this guy and we thought we
– Well, I mean, maybe the linebacker from Florida we took?
There's no Jean Stanley Baptiste.
Not yet. So far. You know. Give us 2 years.
We didn't think Jean Stanley
Baptiste was going to be with that. When he got drafted, either.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Well,
everybody
we knew
said
he was
that.
He was a converted.
He was a project.
He was a project.
He was a project. There's no one in here that's a project.
No, okay. We just got a bunch of guys who have had injury issues or been suspended or.
No, but now you sound like Twitter. Because specifically, one of these guys' injury was like 2 years ago, and then it wasn't even affected him last year. Like everybody's like, "Oh, he hurt him, so he's an injury prone."
That's Lattimore. That's the guy we picked up. I'm not even bitching about Lattimore.
All right, but
and look, the Florida linebacker, his injury, his broken arm. That's kind of a fluky thing. Now he had labrum.
Oh, broken arm. Oh,
issues
no.
his freshman year.
You got Jason Pierre-Paul's playing with stub hands. He didn't break an arm. He lost a fucking finger. Or six.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm just trying to toss up an opposing point of view. But I, you know, would I prefer to get a pass rusher?
That's our point.
Earlier?
We're supposed to be debating the Twitter point of view. Like, bring people back to reality, back to life.
The only problem here is that the history. Now I know under Ireland we've been a little better, but history's. You know, we get excited about the draft class and.
We're
shitty talent about you.
Right, but I guess my point there is, and I'm debating the point you're making, is Twitter went way far to the doomsday.
Because I'm not that, trying to bring them back.
That's what Twitter does. Because that's what Twitter anything. Does.
All right. What I'm saying is, rather than even entertain that point of view, when I say bring it back to reality, I'm not saying bring it all the way to the complete opposite side to where we hype them up too much than they are. We bring it back to the middle to where, guys, like, this is not a terrible class. We don't know what it's going to be, but you got to be happy with what they did.
And that's part of the problem with mock. Another problem to me with mock drafts is that, you know, people read these mock drafts for so long and they develop an expectation of what they want. And when they don't get it and the Saints pick something else, they get pissed off. No, what are you doing?
Well, and you say you didn't draft any passers. There are two defensive ends in the draft.
And they were taken later in the draft.
Yeah, so
they were taken later, and they the odds say they won't pan out, but we did take two pass rushers.
Well, the odds also say that undrafted free agents don't do shit, and Sean Payton does great things with guys like.
Well, hold on. I mean, I think we've done okay with undrafted free agents, but there aren't many. If you look at the last 10 or 11 or 12 years that have made the team, there's a handful that are kind of skewing your view
right,
on this.
Right, sure.
Because history said, look, they're undrafted for a reason. They probably won't make it.
Okay. Well, then these guys are better than that, at least. They got drafted. And they have potential. Last year, the entire draft class, all of them made the team.
Well, we also didn't have a good enough roster. I mean, it doesn't say a lot about the roster.
Well, right. Fuck, Jason. Why don't you go back up to Twitter then?
No, look, I'm I'm with you. I'm okay with this class right now. They drafted them.
All right, so you like the Kamara pick?
Yeah, he's a perfect fit for the offense. And like I said, going into the draft, we needed a playmaker. We needed somebody to replace some of the Cooks' production.
So, but what are you gonna? All right, so now your running backs are what? You've got Ingram, Lasko, Kamara, AP.
Why did you mention Lasko before those guys?
Just because they drafted him last year.
He was lucky to make the team.
Yeah.
He'll be a special teams guy.
I'm special.
You know one thing, that the AP signing and the Kamara drafting means hopefully Cadet doesn't make it.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Oh, yeah, no. I think Cadet
I think Cadet was out the minute they signed
AP. That's probably out. I mean, maybe Lasko makes it because of his special teams. Murphy's gone.
There goes that clip.
Rest in peace, Charlie.
So, all right, and then also it's kind of just seemed like we try to grab a running back every year just to kind of you're rolling the dice. You kind of see what you get.
Except they really like this kid, and they actually gave away next year's second round pick to move up to get him.
Right, but again, this. He's not your traditional running back. Again, he's not a Mark Ingram type. This is a guy whose skill set fits into a Sean Payton system. Right. You know, this is going to be the Sproles. I guess when we drafted Spiller, we all thought he was going to
sign Spiller.
Yeah. Well, signed him. Right.
Yeah. We thought he was going to.
We kind of thought he was going to do this, and you know.
Back to the drawing board.
And then Williams. The ball hawk, you know, should be what we thought we were getting with Bird.
And look, Vaccaro's, this is the fifth year of the deal.
Right.
So, if they decide they want to move on, at least we've got his replacement.
Well, here's what I'm afraid of a little bit.
Well, with
Bell, you'll have his replacement. But then you got Bell and Williams as two young safeties if they decide they want to move on.
Do you have any concern over. Considering Drew Brees' age and contract and our window of opportunity, if you want to call it that even, and the age of our defense. I mean, we have such a young defense now. It's so young. It may end up being the youngest defense in the NFL, no?
Well, it had to happen at some point. I mean, we had the shittiest defense in history. You got to do something.
I'll take youngest over shittiest.
Right.
And no, look, what I'm hoping with Brees, and again, I'm not worried about his age. He played well last year. He kind of tapered down toward the end of the year. But if we can get the running game going, take a little off of Drew, and have a decent defense, Yeah, I think we can still make a run as long as Drew is our quarterback. And I think we'll have him for at least obviously we have him this year, and I think that we'll pay him. He'll be on a 1 year contract for the next several years of $25 million a year.
Like you said, if you can get the running game going, you know, you can save his arm a little bit, maybe extend his career by a year. Like, don't let him throw so many goddamn times.
It's not going to happen.
But Sean Payton can't do it.
Nope.
Well, but again, but God knows.
He'll try for a game or two.
But if you go back to 2009, less of Drew is more from the simple fact that we're not playing from behind. And a lot of the numbers the last several years that have been so big is because we were playing from behind. And now we're very lucky that we have a quarterback who can do that and who's incredibly accurate and one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the history of the game. But God forbid we can get a running game going and a defense who can stop someone with this quarterback, we are easily Super Bowl contenders. It's not even a question.
So speaking of that, did y'all read the article, or I don't know if it was that, where somebody was talking about how, all the people or critics say that Drew Brees is losing that zip on the ball. Even, like, I think it was Troy Aikman during a game last year was talking about how Brees is, you know, there's a little bit float under the ball, and it's not as direct, and there's not as much zip to it, and that they were pointing to age and all that. Well, the article that I was reading, or blog post I was reading about it, was saying, like, if those people ever paid attention to Drew Brees in his entire career, he never had that in the first place. Like, even going back to Purdue, like, he always has been kind of a place the ball in the basket kind of a thrower. And now, though, that he's the age that he is, and those things that have always existed are things that you typically a quarterback, as they age, starts to use to compensate for the loss of or drop in whatever it was. But the point was of the article, which I loved, was Drew Brees was always that kind of a passer. So he's not falling in his abilities. They're still there. You're just noticing them because you also notice his age. But they were always there. And that's what led him to be 5,000 yard plus receiver or quarterback.
Yeah.
For so many years.
Look, here's the 30 teams. Well, take us out. 29 teams want Drew Brees as their starter.
Right.
So we're in that 30. Only ones who might not do that is the Patriots and the Green Bay Packers. You know, they're more than happy with who they have. You know, they're doing fine. But everybody else would take Drew Brees in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Even Indianapolis, and I like Andrew Luck. I think he's a good player.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but every other team, you know, hell, you might be able to get the owner of the Houston Texans to blow you for Drew Brees. Mr. Bisson really wanted that. I'll trade you Drew if you blow me.
Knock, knock. You know.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, don't worry. We're not worried about Drew Brees.
It is interesting, you know, since we signed AP in the draft, the Saints Super Bowl odds have gone from like 65 or 66 to 1 to now it's like 33 to 1.
Just from AP, huh?
Well, and the draft.
And the draft, right. And the draft. We addressed some needs.
Yep. So, all right.
I know I said this when we did the instant recap, but I'll just reiterate it. I know
Ramczyk.
Ramczyk is not a sexy pick. Offensive linemen are not sexy picks, but they are huge needs. And with
Dallas, who did it for a few years in a row and now has the best offensive line in the country.
Right.
In the
and, Armstead, Pete, Unger, Warford, and I guess Streif or, you know, Ramczyk, whatever the fuck. Ramczyk.
Ramczyk.
he's going to be Ramczyk all year.
Ramczyk.
He's going to Ramczyk.
Ramczyk just sounds better.
Yeah, it sounds better for an offensive lineman. You know.
What do you do to Zach Streif?
Ramczyk. Right, that's even better. You got Ramczyk, you know? Them Ramczyk. Ramczyk. But you know, that's a pretty nice offensive line, guys. That's
Well,
you know, God forbid, please, Armstead, please stay fucking healthy. You know, please, you son of a bitch.
Right. You know what would be better is rather than build our offensive line through quality draft picks, that we go out and we overpay veterans who are at the end of their careers to come in and get injured while trying to protect your top three quarterback in the league.
But offensive line looking good. And again, it's not a sexy pick, but we're going to need him. And we've all been writing off Zach Three for the last 5 years. And someone pointed out that, you know, the bad year he had a couple of years ago that even I think we all noticed and when we were talking about on the podcast, is that that's when they had switched to that zone blocking.
Cool.
And the article I was reading was pointing out that, you know, maybe that's, you know, that was a little anomaly in his game, mm-hmm. that once they've gone back to the single man-to-man blocking scheme, that of course he, you know, he's ranked high on PFF, which is a very reputable site. All 32 teams use it, and you know, and they know what they're talking about, according to some people.
Well,
you know, they know more than they talk about than I would know what I'm talking about.
You're right. I mean, look, we didn't complain. We like, that year we complained about Zach Streif almost every game. Last year we barely mentioned Zach Streif's name.
Right. And if you're an offensive lineman, that's what you want to do. You don't want anybody to know who you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the biggest compliment you can give to an offensive lineman, that, you know, your name's never called for penalties or you know, you're not seen looking back at your quarterback if someone's just smashing him.
Right. And look, the fact that Zach Streif is entering his 12th season in the NFL, I mean, you want the Saints to be drafting a Ramzak. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because Zach Streif might not make it through the season.
Perhaps. And then, you know, you always need a quality lineman who can play other positions. Because, look, you know, there's always nicks and bumps and stuff.
Lelito Burrito used to do that.
Yeah. Not no more.
Well, found a way to still bring him onto the show.
Just for somebody else.
That's right. Okay, so anything left on the draft itself before we move into Twitter?
No, look, again, for all you whiners, stop whining. Let's see how this plays out for you, bitch and moan.
And it seems to have calmed down a little bit. But all right, let's move into looking at him tweets. Okay. Jason, your song selection last week's episode really got a little attention on the show.
You know, it's what I do from time to time. Try to be a good producer.
There you go. So, let's see. Some look at them tweets from the draft itself. Looks like we had a little, I guess they're going to blitz DBs every down. Where's the pass rush? That came from Brandon Guidry.
Getting back to the draft, one thing that was a little fresh.
Well, I guess we weren't finished with that segment.
Just one small. I just thought about it. One small little nugget that's a little frustrating is now two more LSU linebackers go to the NFC South.
Yeah,
you know, Riley goes to.
But we did sign.
Riley went to Atlanta, and Beckwith went to Tampa, and it's like, come on, man, fuck.
But we did sign what's his name receiver as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, Doral.
Yeah. Hey, I'll take it.
Yeah, still. I mean, I don't know. If I'd have had my chance between Kendall Beckwith or the long-haired blonde dude from Florida, I think I probably would have gone Beckwith.
Right. All right, I'm going to keep going with the Ligonin tweets. And I will say one of the best tweets of the draft came from Who Dat in Tennessee that says, "Not surprising, Atlanta is looking to move out of their pick. Giving up 31 is kind of their thing." Hashtag SuperBowlLI. And then the other tweet we came, Dave Brink wanted to, or he liked one of our retweets. Roger Goodell, did y'all see that? Did you see this? Did you hear about this?
The Goodell booger?
Yes!
Yeah.
Was that real?
What do you expect? He was a fucking scumbag.
Wow. Wiped his fucking booger on a handicapped girl.
On a little girl.
A handicapped girl, not just a little girl.
Because it's fucking Goodell, man. He's a giant douche.
Wow.
Yeah, not surprised.
All right, so we got Bull Smith. That's a bunch of Bull Smith. Tweeted, definitely has the measurables you want in a prospect.
Who's he talking about?
Oh, sorry, that was in response to our retweet of the Billy Gumpert from the Chicago Bears from the ITT Technical Institute.
Oh, yeah.
Bears trade away 6 picks, move up 2 spots to snag prospect out of ITT Tech.
Man, I mean, that's... Damon and I talked about it. I mean, if Trubisky pans out, you know, good for him, but... God, I mean, if he does, I mean, that's a fireable offense right there. Give up all that to move up 1 spot.
Oh. All right, so then we got Horror Islander coming at us with over-under on Saints draft picks on IR at the beginning of the season.
I'll go 1.5.
I'll go none.
None, huh?
None.
I don't think IR, but I'm sure one guy gets hurt. Yeah, not the draft picks. You're right. Other people, maybe.
Somebody's going to have a sports hernia. All
right. And we got, let's see, Triple D Fishing, which is also Triple D Kennels, which I think is, what was the name they were during?
I thought it was Triple D Stud Farm.
Yes. Okay. So that's who it is. It's the same guy. He didn't change his name. I'm pretty happy with Saints draft. Kikaha returning. Grab some undrafted defensive ends, tight ends, receivers. Hashtag who dat. I think Sean will bring in the yearly kicker to compete. Do you think he will?
This year, no. I think Lutz is the guy. He loves Lutz.
He loves Lutz. Yes,
he loves Lutz.
Yep, he loves Lutz.
He loves Lutz.
Lutz is our kicker.
Yep. So yeah, I think Lutz is. And he came on at the end of the year once we brought in the other guy and kind of kicked Greg McMahon to the curb. So yeah, look, I agree. Look, I'm, you know, history says a lot of these guys won't pan out. But one thing that could be beneficial and could maybe turn things around is the fact that now we've got, you know, several new position coaches. I mean, maybe Mike Nolan gets something out of this Florida linebacker. You know, I mean, we've had 11 years of Joe Vitt, and it hasn't worked for 11 years. I mean, maybe Vitt was the problem. I mean, I guess, look, the guys, if they're not talented enough, they're not going to cut it. But, you know, you need good coaching, especially early in players' careers. You need better coaching to help them reach their full potential.
Well, bet you all that, and you make a point. Because you can't bitch about the linebacker play, you know, the early part of the Sean Payton years when we had Vilma,
yeah.
Vegeta,
we had really good players.
Right. And Vilma, again, that's what we've never been able to replace Vilma.
No.
As a leader in the locker room and on the field.
Yeah, so, look, if these new position coaches can get in and work their magic. Let's see what happens. I mean, it's way too early.
And we got CJ back.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and maybe Doral can crack the fourth or fifth wide receiver spot. We'll see. I mean, I think with all the... I think it's going to be tougher than usual for some of these... for any of these undrafted guys to make the roster. Because I think we're better off. We got a little more depth. We appear to be a little better off than they have been the past couple of years. So, just, you know, again, it's so early. You just gotta wait and see. Just hope to God. I just don't want any of them to get hurt. Don't want any of these assholes to get hurt. I mean, look what happened with Rankins last year. We were all excited about Rankins. Breaks his fucking leg. You know, we can't have that.
Can't have what?
You know, don't need any major injuries from our rookie.
Oh, yeah. Or anybody, for that matter. I mean, you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Ingredients to any Super Bowl team is there's like one third of it is health, right? All right. Next one says, I'm gonna read a little bit of a series here. This originated actually from Fuck the Falcons from Mike, where he said something. If Drew Brees, he quoted someone from the elevator. If Drew Brees would take a goddamn pay cut, we could still have Colston.
Oh, my God.
And he was quoting some asshole or idiot that he must have been talking to in an elevator because he hashtagged it elevator talk. And he also hashtagged, is Alexandria still in Louisiana? So clearly, I had to comment.
Well, I thought it is cowboy country.
I was actually, one of my comments was to comment and say, well, they don't know anything about the Saints because they're all Cowboys fans. But I did say, if someone in Alexandria said that, they do not reflect the opinions of or represent the city. And then, though, the best response came from this Dalton BRK Wreck. Yeah, right? Dalton Bark Wreck or something. He says, I'm close to Alexandria, and whoever said that must not have seen Colston's play on the field drop tremendously over the last year he was there. The only reason I'm reading this is because I want to, like...
It's Alexandria, and you took offense to it because you live there.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that everybody who reads Fuck the Falcons tweets and listens to us knows that that is not an Alexandria...
I'd say it's probably 50-50. You know?
Well, then
some dumb redneck that doesn't really pay a lot of attention to the Saints. They're more Cowboys fans. Like, what the hell happened to Marcus Colston? Where is he? He's the all-time Saints receiving leader. You know?
If like, you're raised, right. Because Colston, the only reason Colston left and retired was because Drew Brees was taking so much money.
Right, was making too much money, yeah.
Right. Yeah. We just couldn't afford Colston anymore, y'all.
No.
All right, so then, Brandon Guidry did say, only thing I hate more than mock draft shows are draft review shows. None of these clowns know who will be good in the NFL.
Well, to me, that's why you can't give grades out right now. You can kind of say, well, they got this position, they got this position, and have a leaning, but you can't really give a grade because nobody's played it fucking down yet. I mean, you know, half these first-round picks are going to be busts. We just don't know which ones they are yet. That's all.
Yep. All right, then we got Who Dat Fitz saying, Vegas has the over-under on AP at 900 yards. Should I sell my house and put it all on the under?
Yes.
Yes, 100%.
Yes, put it on the under.
Why would they do it at 900?
Because AP still, because I know people still know Peterson. They think, oh, he's in a high-powered offense with a quarterback like Drew Brees. Give him the over. He's not going to play in front of 8-man boxes anymore. There's still a name recognition with him.
Wow.
Because I know people will still bet the over, but the only way he would get the over is if Ingram gets hurt in like week one and is out for the season.
Yeah.
That'd be the only way that happens.
All right. This one coming in from Dustin at DNitsud. Saying Anzalone has to get jersey number 69, right?
I don't think they allow linebackers to get that number. I think he would have to be some kind of lineman to get 69.
Yeah.
Why 69, though, for him?
69.
We get the number. Why it's funny, but why him? Alone?
Why him? I don't know. He's a young Fabio-looking dude with long blonde hair. Maybe he's a lady killer.
So I'm not stupid for not getting that, right?
No, you're just stupid.
Hey, fuck you, buddy!
Then we got Davis Douglas saying, Hey, guys. Same question for you that you ask your own guests. Who is your all-time favorite Saint, excluding Drew Brees?
I really liked Pat Swilling.
That's my answer, Tim. I really like Pat. Of all, you know, I love Deuce. I don't remember Archie, you know, playing. I was too young. I love Deuce, but Pat Swilling was, I mean, the only player I've ever, you know, I had his jersey. I mean, I was really a big Pat Swilling fan.
Surprised you didn't say Ricky Jackson.
Again, they were the same time, but, you know, it's Pat. I mean, he was kind of, you know, he was the sizzle back in the day.
Does Ricky get disqualified because he ended up in San Francisco and got a Super Bowl?
No. Pat Swilling went to Detroit.
Right.
In Oakland, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Look, Look, guys end up in other places. Sam Mills ended up in Carolina. Now, I'm still bitter. They got a fucking statue out in front of Carolina and not here.
And we don't. Yeah, if they, we need a Dome Patrol statue somewhere around.
Yeah, put them all up there.
Yeah, but
we
could
take a new profile picture with us.
Aaron Brooks doesn't fall on the list, Jason?
He just missed the cut. he was up on, you know, I had my preliminary list of a handful that I had to choose from, and just didn't quite cut it. Well,
and again, Pat, was he the all around linebacker like Ricky Jackson? No, he wasn't. Okay, Ricky was undoubtedly probably, you know, again, you can argue the top greatest Saints in the to ever play, but Pat back in the day, he was the man getting all the sacks, and you know. He wasn't so good against the run, but again, he was the sizzle back in the Dome Patrol days when I started watching. You know, I was a young child. I was, you know, 12, 11, 13, somewhere around there. And you know, Pat was really, he's the one that would make the noise. Because remember, he got, that year he had 17 sacks. I mean, can you imagine if we had some player right now
get
17 sacks?
I'd buy his jersey.
No, you wouldn't. We wouldn't let you.
Yeah, right.
No, I would say, like, it's not my favorite player, but I will say at the time when I was young in that year, I really liked Tyrone Hughes. You remember him?
Yes.
Remember Tyrone Hughes?
No, Jeff, I don't remember Tyrone Hughes.
Maybe you do. I mean, it's not like he was like some etched in stone greatest receiver
in Saints history.
I mean, and I remember me and Chad Laborde when we were
Laborde and I.
Chad. That's a good point. When Chad and I were younger, we actually wrote a letter to Tyrone Hughes.
I think you told us this. You told us this story.
Have I told this story before?
I remember you writing a letter to a player.
No, we wrote a letter to Tyrone Hughes to mail it to him, asking him that if he scored a touchdown in the next game or whatever, to like do a touchdown dance for us or something, because he always would do a bit of a touchdown dance when he scored. I remember that. So we liked Tyrone Hughes. I liked Quinn Early back in his day, and
I liked Reuben Mays. I know he didn't last long, but I liked, and he had the cool nickname, the Bayou Bullet. I had a Reuben Mays t-shirt.
I mean, Reuben Mays came because of He was part of the 87, you know, the shortened season. He crossed the picket line, and he came from the USFL. So right, and then he stuck around a couple of years.
I remember watching the movie Major League when Willie Mays Hayes came in. Every time they talked about him, I always thought of Reuben Mays.
Reuben Mays Hayes.
Reuben Mays Hayes.
I'm sorry. You're saying Reuben Mays, and my dumbass is thinking
Willie Mays Hayes.
No. My dumb ass is thinking of Buford Jordan. You're saying Reuben Mays. No, Reuben Mays was drafted. Reuben Mays was the rookie of the year. And he bust. When you said the name Bayou Bullet, I knew it was Reuben Mays. But anyway. He was rookie of the year. Buford, and he would have been Jordan. Him and Dalton Hilliard were fucking.
Yeah. That was
they were great. And Mays messed up his knees and was never the same.
No.
Never
Dalton
the same.
Hilliard, there's one. All you fans, you newfangled fans, need to understand Dalton Hilliard.
Dalton Hilliard was, again, he was better than Reuben.
Right.
Yeah, he was a better overall player.
Well, he lasted long. Yeah, Reuben messed up his knees in the second year.
Yeah,
and
he was never the same.
Fuck, never the same. But that Reuben Mays, there's some potential that, you know, lost because of injury. Yeah, and Dalton, dude, Dalton. Again, he was another one, you know, in that Dome Patrol late 80s, early 90s era that he would get solid.
Yeah, man, I put Dalton and Eric Martin in the same. Like, I kind of grouped them together.
Dalton.
They were very solid, very
productive.
We got
Dalton over here.
But, you know, their stats didn't jump off the page, and they didn't get Pro Bowls or anything, but they were incredibly good pros.
And fucking Eric Martin, if you and I could have played quarterback and thrown it to Eric Martin. Okay, because he was just going to catch it.
Right.
He wasn't going to do anything with it. He was slow as fuck. Right. He was going to catch it, and he wasn't going to get any yak, you know. But hey, catching the ball is the most important thing.
That is true.
If you can't catch, you don't do any good at the water.
What's that Bum Phillips used to say? If the ball can touch your hands, you should be able to catch the ball.
Right. Man, don't. And
and Eric Martin, and Hulk, the manifestation of that philosophy.
Right. Eric Martin. And then Hobie Brenner. Nah. Same thing. Tight end Hobie Brenner. That's when tight ends weren't used like they are today, you know, as real offensive weapons. You know, he was,
but they actually,
he was mainly a blocker. Yeah, he was, you know, but he would catch everything and just literally fall to the ground, you know. He'd catch it and he'd fall forward for 7 yards because he was so such a big man.
No, that was a good little run. And the way we're talking about it is the way the, you know, 20-something-year-old Saints fan today, or even the teenage Saints fan today, is going to talk about it 15, 20 years from now. They're going to talk about Breeze and Colston and Deuce, Reggie, you know, that whole...
PT, yeah, PT.
Darren Sproles, they're going to talk about... And even the defense, they will talk about Mike McKenzie, you know?
Predator.
The role that he played. Pierre Thomas. So yeah, ooh, I'm going to have to go with Pierre Thomas. I think I'd
wait, this was before the Breeze era, right?
No, it says excluding Breeze the man, not the Breeze era. Oh. So I'm going to go with Pierre Thomas as my favorite to even bypass the nostalgic pick that you guys are going with.
Oh, well, I thought it was basically pre
okay, so
era.
Well, I mean, so again, Pat's Willing would still be mine. I mean, he's the ultimate saint.
I might go Jonathan Vilma. I mean, I loved Vilma when he was here. I really did.
That's fine. That's right.
Even above Aaron Brooks?
Yeah, I think so. He didn't play here quite as long as Aaron Brooks, but I'll give the nod to Vilma.
Right. All right. So with that, that's all the tweets we got. Did you guys... that's all the show I really had, unless y'all had any final thoughts that... We didn't cover.
Yeah.
Jason,
yeah.
Final thought.
Final thoughts. So the Zurich Classic wrapped up. Had to go to a playoff due to the weather delay Sunday. A miraculous shot by Kisner on the 18th hole to chip in for Eagle to tie to force the playoff Monday morning. Won by Blixton and Cameron Smith. But the good thing is it got a lot of positive feedback and coverage. Everybody seemed to like it. And I think it sounds like... next year, we're going to be able to get even more top golfers to come play in the event.
Because that team element is going to stick.
Yeah, team format. Everybody loved it.
Well, that's fun.
Everybody loved it. That's great.
Again, we talked about it 2 weeks ago when you mentioned it. The Zurich Classic, the PGA event in New Orleans, needed some sort of gimmick because it's always been so close to the Masters. That's wonderful. I want to see it succeed.
Right. And in this case, you're not using gimmick as a negative term. Yeah.
No, it is a gimmick. No. I mean, the gimmick is not always negative, you know.
Right.
And look, the attendance, they said they had the highest attendance they've ever had.
That's wonderful.
Good.
This year. So, yeah, it was a really good – we're very thankful for the tour doing this and choosing our event to do it.
Definitely, I like that.
See, I'm surprised. So the tour were the ones who wanted to do the thing, not necessarily the Zurich saying, we'd like to do it. Would you approve it?
Well, no. I think it was as a collaboration. It was kind of looking at ways to, man, how can we spice up this tournament? It's kind of
okay.
Been
so
a
the tour,
dull the last
the
few
Zurich
years.
People.
So I think Zurich and the people who ran the tournament, you know, Zurich the sponsor,
right.
People who ran the tournament went to the PGA
right,
and said,
not
hey,
Zurich themselves, but
would
right,
you, would, you know. What about this idea? Would that be something?
Good. All right.
So it worked out for the best. Everybody loved it. It was a great time. I was out there all day Friday. Actually, I had scheduled off Monday through Wednesday of this week, so I actually went out to watch the playoff Monday morning.
Let me ask you this. Did you lose your keys?
I did not lose my keys.
But a friend of mine.
I'm sure somebody lost their keys. This wasn't me.
Right. All right. And for those of you listening who listened to the show last week, Jason's 7-minute story on how they lost their keys was the short version. If you'd like to hear the full 45-minute version of the story, then you can write to us at Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Anyway, Damon, final thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I have a something that I don't think we talked about enough is the Great Dane got into the Hall of Fame. Morten Andersen, longtime Saints leading kicker. Okay. Now, if it feels to me like the guys on the cusp of getting into the Hall of Fame, that when their teams go in, they get in. Ricky got in after we won the Super Bowl in 2009. You know, Morten went in this year with Atlanta, get into the Super Bowl, and he, you know, he spent a great deal of time in Atlanta. He was their leading kick. He was their leading scorer up until last year. And at the time, he was the only man to be the leading scorer for two teams, the Saints and Atlanta. But what I wanted to point out is, and let me remind people that when you go into the Hall of Fame in the NFL, it's not like baseball. Baseball players go in representing a team, okay? Even if they played for several during their career, they'll go in representing a team. In the NFL, you just the player just goes in. He has nothing to do with the teams. But because Atlanta and Atlanta's fans, a lot of these like to shit on them, like to claim Morten, I just want to point out that when this year's draft, when it was time to announce the drafts, you know, and they had ex-players came up, who came up there to announce the Saints draft pick with his gold Saints tie on? The Great Dane, Morten Andersen.
Yeah, well, I'm going to play devil's advocate there, because if you go to MortenAndersen.com, his website, the image that is on the main image on his website is him in a Falcons jersey and with red and black letters saying vision, effort, attitude, purpose.
Okay, but then second, if you... hold on.
I'm not trying to. I really want to like this, but I'll be honest. Like, he.
Well, hold on.
And he has every right, honestly, to.
Okay, shut up. All right, shut up. Let me finish. If you go onto the Saints webpage, that they during the draft, they were doing a live streaming with Jen Hale and I don't know somebody else. but anyway, Morten was there. He flew to New Orleans, and he came what they call it, draft boil. The Saints do something every year, and he was on that, and he was talking about that. You're going to Hall of Fame. There's two ceremonies. Obviously, there's the bust ceremony that we're all very familiar with in Canton, Ohio. You know, where they present the player with the bust, and he gives his little speech.
Right.
But then there's the ring ceremony. And out of Morten's mouth, he said, he goes, look, with the ring ceremony, Crown Duke of Denmark, that's where Morten is. He's from Denmark. The Crown Duke of Denmark called him when he was announced he was in the Hall of Fame. And apparently the Crown Duke is a big American football fan, according to Morten. So he goes, you know, the NFL, they do a ring ceremony. And he said, look, Morten said, the first thought is that I want to do the ring ceremony in New Orleans at a game. His quote was, you know, that was my first choice in New Orleans to do my ring ceremony. So he still feels a huge part of New Orleans. He called New Orleans home, even though he does live in Atlanta. He said, New Orleans is home for me. And again, so he's doing his ring ceremony. He said it's going to be at a Saints game this year. They don't know which one yet.
He made the NFL Hall of Fame because of his Saints career, not necessarily his Falcons career.
Well, I think his entire career. I mean, the man had a legendary career.
But we can slant a little bit. And he does have most points ever in the NFL, 25-44. Most games played, 382. Most consecutive games, 360. Most field goals, 565. Second most PATs and second most seasons, 25.
Man played 20 years in the NFL. I mean, he is a legend. He deserves all the fame. And again, his ring ceremony will be in New Orleans. Congratulations to Morten again. And again, he's a saint at heart, if you'd ask him. He honestly believe that. And I understand him not wanting to burn bridges and come out and say, fuck the Falcons. But for our fans who do, and I hope we get more than the 11 who participated in polls that we have. If you're a fan, you listen to us, and you're on Twitter, it's Morten Andersen at MA2544. That's his Twitter handle. Tweet him that he needs more Saints representation on his website. Okay, let's all do that.
You need it. Just say I'd love to see it. You know, don't attack the guy.
Tell him that Trump's president now. He's a fucking immigrant. Get back to Denmark. That's what I want. I build the wall, and Denmark's gonna pay for it.
And Denmark's gonna pay for it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Never mind. That's somebody else. That's
but Damon, are you gonna celebrate Cinco de Mayo?
No, I mean, it's on a Friday. How awesome would that be? I mean, no, I don't drink like that used
to. Well, if you want to build a wall, then you shouldn't be allowed to celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
No, because we're America, and that's what we do. We do cultural appropriation. We take all cultures, and we claim them for ourselves.
Yeah, right. We celebrate everything else first.
Right. We celebrate.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, a Dome Patrol podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Before I say bye-bye, I want to wish a get well to St. Superfan Jarrus, who had his liver replacement surgery this week. So get well soon, little buddy. And bye-bye, donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.